Welcome to COC and a walk through the Shire. So, are you guys doing good today? Are you alive? Are you out there? Come on, let's go. Come on, man, welcome. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, we are so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. Thanks for being our guests. I wanted to take a brief minute today and just recognize somebody that's here. Good friend of mine, our very, 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 very first youth pastor at the Church of Celebration and Financial Administrator. Some of you are like, I wasn't here back then. Well, he was. Gary Shackleton is here today. Gary, why don't you stand to your feet right now? Yeah. And his lovely wife, Nicole. She was our children's ministry assistant to my wife back then. I can't believe that I actually asked Gary to stand and he has a Broncos jersey on today. That's why we let him go here at COC. Oh, nice. Hey, so here's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. We're starting a three-week series called Grapes and Giants. And usually what I like to do is, as I plan out the year about once a year, I like to take a few weeks and speak to a specific passage of Scripture and or a book in the Bible of somewhat in a series form, and that's kind of what we're going to do. We're only doing it for 3 weeks. Ephesians is a short book, so we're actually more doing like an overview or a flyover, so it's going to be quick hits. So for this particular season, basically what we want to do is give you an overview over these next 3 weeks of the book of Ephesians, and I'd like to specifically speak to three particular promises that are found in the book of Ephesians, and those promises that I'm drawing out in this series are power, the promise of power, the promise of purpose, and the promise of protection. Now, here's what we're going to do, because some of you are like, grapes and giants. I don't know if I've read the book of Ephesians, right, if it's in there. And here's what we're talking about. We're going to do kind of a compare and a parallel with these three promises, the promise of power, purpose, and protection with that we find in the book of Ephesians with a parallel with the Old Testament, with the Israelites, when they were given the promise and the instruction to go into the promised land, to kind of give you a comparison of the two. So here's where we're at. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul starts out by saying this: Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. I think what you're going to find in the book of Ephesians, and I want to encourage you, go home and read the book of Ephesians. It's just a short little book. Read it, and you're going to find in there a lot of blessings that God throws out to the follower of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, another example would be, he says that we are his masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. We are priceless. We are unique. We are one of a kind. That is a blessing, folks. In chapter 3, he says something like that God loves us with a limitless love. That's an unconditional love. Can I get an amen? Is that not a blessing? That means whatever you do, God will love you no matter what. That is an awesome blessing. But to be fair, just to be honest, he also talks about there are going to be battles, there are going to be struggles, there are going to be obstacles along the way. For example, in chapter 6, he talks about how we must put on the full armor of God every day. And we'll talk more about that in week number 3. Now, the connection between the New Testament and the Old Testament that we're going to use for comparison today is actually found in Exodus chapter 3:17, where God tells the Israelites about this particular promise. He says, I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and Parasites. A land flowing with milk and honey. Now, you got to understand something. When God gave this promise about this new land, He said that it was going to be a good land to the Israelites. It's going to be full of potential. It's going to be full of prosperity. There's going to be an abundance amount of fruit. And he speaks specifically to this. A land that would have grapes. But it would also be a land that would have giants in it as well. And what you need to know is what was true for Moses and what was true for Joshua in the Old Testament, where God was leading them into this land of promise, of purpose, and of protection, is the same thing for you and me that we're going to read about in Ephesians, in which God promises you the same things. He promises you power, purpose, and protection. But with these promises, he says, there's also going to be obstacles. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be problems. In essence, where there is grapes, there will also be giants. And we've got to get that. So what I want to do is I want to pray for us before we really jump into this today and give some parallel conversations. Is that cool? You ready to pray? Because of that response, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just totally turn this upside down right now. I'm serious. My wife will love this. She will say, "You're the man. I'm so glad you did this today." I want you to turn to the person to your left or to the person on your right, and I want you to pray today for this message. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Out loud. Do it right now. Do it. Do it. Fred, stand up and say it again right now. Just stand up right now. Do it right now. Amen. There we go. Yes. Yeah, man. If prayer's not in your life, I'm going to get it in your life. That's what's going to happen today. Hey, listen. Let me start off by reading kind of the Old Testament comparison, and then we'll look at the parallel found in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 17. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 13 right now. Numbers chapter 13, and then you can go to Ephesians and just kind of mark it there, and we'll go there. So bear with me. This is a lengthier portion of Scripture, and why I say bear with me is there's a lot of pronunciations, so you know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Numbers chapter 13, 17 through 33. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good? Is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or are they fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best," he says. "Do your best to bring back some fruit in the land," because it was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and they explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, live. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. It took two people to carry a cluster of grapes, which means the grapes were big. The grapes were big. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land, and they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, they gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey." Interesting, God doesn't lie, like he said in Exodus, right? "Here is its fruit, 28, but," now I don't know if it's got that many U's in your Bible, but I put that in there because this is one of those big buts, "but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced them. "Hush up, people," is what Caleb says. He silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people, fool." Didn't make it on the screen. "They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored, even though it was really great. They said, "The land we explored devours the living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there." I personally think Fred is a descendant from Nephilim. I really do. The descendants of Nephilim were giants, just so you're aware of that, okay? And listen to what they said. They said, "They're huge. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we probably look the same to them." So what we see out of the gate here, folks, is this: is the Israelites explored the promised land, and it was great. It was flowing with milk and honey. They had big grapes, but the giants were there too, and that posed a problem. So because of the giants, they refused to enter the land. You probably know the story, and therefore they didn't have the opportunity to experience the land that was full of grapes. And because they weren't willing to face the battle, they lost the blessing. Because they weren't willing to face the battle, they lost the blessing. All because of their perspective of God's promise to them. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The passage right here that we're about ready to read is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, around 62 AD. And he was praying for the church of Ephesus, praying for them while he was under house arrest in Rome. And this is what he says in verses 17 through 23. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe." Now listen to this. This is crazy. Take a deep breath. I don't want to read all of this in one breath. "That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come." That is one of the longest run-on sentences I have ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? That's like some of my wife's texts to me. Or probably my texts to you. Right? You get this moment. The reason why I draw this out is Paul is so excited about the power of God that he just can't stop. I love this. And then verse 22, he says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way." Now here's what the Israelites have in common with the church at Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus has in common with us, and we have in common with every single believer that says Jesus Christ is Lord. Please don't miss this. Here is what the connection is. We have a whole lot more power than we realize through the promises that God has made to us. Can I say that again? Is it on the screens? Is it not on the screens? I don't know. Let me say that again, all right? And you need to probably say amen, okay? Because the more amens that I get, it's kind of like a junior high dance. You know what I'm saying? The more you participate, the more you'll enjoy it, all right? That's kind of what it's like. So I need you to jump in here, all right? I'm going to say this. We have a whole lot more power than we realize through the promises that God has made to us. There we go. Man, that's good. That's unison. Now, if you notice Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, it was all about power to the people. It wasn't about power of Paul or the power of Paul. The people already knew that Paul was a powerful guy. He was a great communicator. He was probably the greatest first century missionary that we know, and he eventually writes most of the New Testament. They already knew about that. Paul's prayer was not about the power that he possessed, nor in essence really was it about the power of God per se. It was primarily this, how the promise of the power of God was accessible to them. Average, ordinary, everyday believers. Anybody out there fit in that category? Yeah, that's me, man. And this is what Paul's prayer was. Let me explain that for you today, just a little bit so you understand, okay? If we were in a church service like today, and I were to stand up here and I would say something like this, God is powerful. He can do anything. What would you say? Amen. All right, that's not bad, but I'm going to say that one more time because I know that you did better. I just heard it, okay? God is powerful and he can do anything. Amen. Yeah, naturally. When I say something like that, it would draw a lot of amens. But here's the deal. When I flip the coin and I start saying things like this, your power you have over sin is available to you. You have power over your depression. You have power over your circumstances. You have power over drifting away. This is dwindling out as I go down the list. See, when I shift the coin and I start talking about the power that is available to you, here's what happens. It wasn't as powerful of an amen as it was when I said that God is all powerful and he can do anything. Because when I shift it back onto you, suddenly there's this doubt that creeps into our minds. And that promise of power, sometimes when we're in the thick of things, it just doesn't seem that powerful. We're wondering, where in the world is it to be found? And here's why I make that statement, okay? Here's why I make that statement. You might want to write this down if you're a note taker. It is possible for God to have all the power, but for his people to live in total weakness. It is possible that God has all the power, but for his people to live in total weakness. And guys, that is big time unfortunate. It happened with the Israelites. God had all the power. He made to them a promise to go into the promised land, but they refused to take him up on his promise of power available to them. So they, what? They continue living in the land of their problems. And the same is so true about everyday, average, ordinary believers in Jesus. Because of our perspective to God's promises, we never fully realize our potential in Jesus Christ. Please catch this truth today. If you aren't a note taker, I would write this down. It is possible for God to have all the power, but for his people to live in total weakness. It's happening. All the time, it's happening. So Paul realizes that this is a very real possibility of happening for everyday average followers of Jesus. So he prays. He prays along these lines. Please note, once again, he doesn't pray that God would be powerful because we already know that God is all powerful. All right, all authority has been given to him. He doesn't pray that he would preach with more power. This is what he prays. He prays something like this. He says, church, I keep asking over and over and over, church. I keep asking on your behalf that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Man, this is Paul's prayer for you. For you and for me. Nevertheless, because I'm a pastor and I've dealt with a lot of situations, you know what happens, folks? It's highly unfortunate, but it's possible for God to have all the power and for us to just come to church and hear all about the power and for us to go home and every once in a while thumb through that Bible and read all about the power, but for us to never convert the power into the promise of power into strength for our daily lives. And the book of Ephesians is pretty much all about this idea right here. Don't miss this. God's power is only potential until you convert it into strength by faith and by action. God's power is only potential. Some of you out there today aren't living up to your potential. Here's an illustration. Let me break it down for you. I was a decent student growing up, okay? I really was. I had a talking problem in school. I get in trouble for talking a lot. Maybe that's where my son gets it. But in school, I did pretty well. I had a 3.0 grade point average pretty much all through junior high, high school, and into college, and graduated college that way. And I don't know about you, but I had several classes that I liked. I really enjoyed team sports, PE, weightlifting. Can I get an amen? Right? And then I had a lot of classes I didn't necessarily like too much. Math. Yeah, you can name the list, right? And in one particular class that I really didn't prefer too much for, it was science. And it's crazy, it probably broke my dad's heart because he was a science teacher. But I didn't really care too much for science. Can I get another amen on that one? Yeah. I can only remember a few things about junior high science, really. The first one was this, the week that we dissected a frog. Hey, listen, for a junior high boy to cut anything open and look in the inside of it for an entire week was awesome. And it was especially cool because, actually, this is crazy, but it's a real story. My frog had a bird in its stomach. What frog eats a bird? You know what I'm saying? So awesome. That baby, he got put inside that formaldehyde thing. I mean, the science teacher kept my frog for the rest of his life. And then the second thing, and this is crazy, but this is one of the things that stayed with me. I'm not sure why, but it was the week that we talked about potential energy versus kinetic energy. And I remember my science teacher saying this in particular, that potential energy was nothing more. It was nothing more than stored energy, a stored resource, never, ever, ever tapping into its full potential. And I thought, energy being wasted. And maybe why that stuck with me for as long as it has in ministry is because it's translated over. And what I've observed in a lot of followers of Jesus today, I've noticed that there's a lot of believers in Jesus Christ. We're big time fans of Jesus. We love him and we have a lot of potential energy, but we're not emotion. And I've also realized that there's a lot of believers that have a lot of potential greatness, a lot of potential greatness, but we're not in motion. So Paul comes along and he writes these words and he says something like this: I am praying day after day after day, follower of Jesus. I'm praying that God would open your eyes so you would recognize and realize the power that you already have. That's my prayer for you. Again, please notice he doesn't pray that you would have more power, all right, because you already have all the power you need. Didn't get any amens. Do you get that? He doesn't pray that you'd have more power because he knows that you already have all the power that you need. He says, I'm praying that you would recognize that power, that you would know that power, that you would appropriate that power, and that power would become strength in your life. Now, we already know from Scripture that all power belongs to God. We know that. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said that all authority has been given to me. All power has been given to me. But strength is when you grab a hold of that power that's available to you and you walk it out in your life. And guys, you can't walk it out in your life if you don't realize it's there. And that's what maybe this series is about, is awakening some things that God has promised to you in your life as a follower of Jesus. I absolutely love what Caleb says in Numbers, in our passage. You might have caught of it. I kind of drew it out a little bit. I read it rather quickly, but let me go back and just show you what he says and say it once again. Numbers chapter 17, verse 30. Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, We should go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly do it. And if you remember anything about that passage, everybody else was focusing on how big the giants were, but for some reason, Caleb couldn't take his mind off of how big the grapes were. It's interesting. He says something like, no, guys, I am serious. We should go up and we should take that land. Here's why. I believe that Caleb recognized the power available to him, and he confirmed it by saying, because guys, listen, we can certainly do this. Now, here's something else that I've noticed with many believers in Jesus today, something much different from Caleb. You might want to write this down. Many of us go and visit the land. We go take a look around at the land. But we never fully occupy the land. We never fully possess it and take possession of it. This is something I've noticed. And here's what so many followers of Jesus don't realize. The day that you said yes to Jesus, people, please get this. The day that you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you started your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ, he gave you something so powerful. He gave you something so beyond anything that you could ever imagine. He gave to you his power. No. I'm not letting that go with like three people saying amen. Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I am. When you said yes to Jesus, he gave you his power. You get that? Some of you need to let that sink in because all you're doing is visiting the land today. A little nervous on that one, aren't we? And unfortunately, it's like I had to stir this up in you. And that's why Paul prayed this. The rest of your life, for many of you that are here today, will be spent as a follower in Jesus who goes and visits the land. What does that mean? Well, occasionally you'll come to church every other week. Every 2.3 times like the average church member goes to church. And many of you will spend the rest of your life, and guess what? You'll take another step in your faith journey, and you'll take vacations to the land. What does that mean, Pastor Josh? Well, occasionally, when you feel guilted enough, you'll sign up to serve in Sea City. Fine. Next time at Fry's, I'll buy a bag of candy. Fine, I'll sign up to serve at that crazy thing called kids camp. I'll take vacations to it. And you know what? What's great is some of you even take more steps, and that's great. And actually, here's what's interesting, is you actually will spend a weekend in the land. Well, what's that mean, Pastor Josh? Well, I'll sign up. Fine, I'll go to that man stinking freaking camp. I'll go to women's retreat. Fine. I'll go to Rocky Point for Mexico missions. And you'll go take a weekend in the land. But you'll never fully unpack your suitcase and stay there, like, forever and take possession of it. And occupy it by fully selling out to it. And you're wondering today, where is this power that Pastor Josh is talking about? Listen, you got to know something, folks. when you don't, won't, or can't do that, take possession of it, all you're doing is you're limiting. You're limiting the power that's packed as potential in you. And what you gotta someday get, follower of Jesus, is that potential power, in case you haven't gotten this yet, that potential power that's packed in you, it's what Jesus saved you for. He wants to show you more. He wants to reveal to you more often. He wants to operate through you more. But you'll never, ever possess it or activate it if all you ever do is just come around every once in a while, look around, and then leave. And never possess it and activate it. By what? By increasing your faith. I'm serious, folks. I'm serious. I've been in this thing long enough, and I wonder all the time how many Christians, as I look out and I just observe, how many Christians never fully unpack the potential and truly understand the powerful piece of equipment that you possess as a child of God. That's why Paul comes along and says this: I want you to know the power. I want you to know the riches. I want you to know your potential. Let me explain it to you another way, maybe just with another example, a little audience participation. How many people out there are Apple Mac users today? Raise your hand up high. Sweet. How many of you are still unsaved and you have not come to the other side? Stop. Jeez, you're PC users, okay? How many PC users out there? Sweet, we will pray for you right now. Jesus, in the name, heal them. Obviously, I'm an Apple guy. I own a MacBook. I own an iPad right here. I own an iPhone. And the thing that I like the most about iCal, just because I'm a detailed and an organized guy, is probably I love the cloud, that all three of my devices can sync up at one time and they're always together. And I know that they're always thinking for me. You know what I'm saying? But by no means am I a tech-savvy person. I'm really not. My dad often asks, hey, I need your help with this. I'm like, you just bought a Samsung Galaxy. I have no freaking clue what that does. I use my laptop for message prep and to store documents. I use my iPad to preach out of, and I take it with me on meetings so I don't have to lug my big old laptop with me. Isn't that sad? That's so sad. It's not that big. It's like this big. You know, I don't want to take that. I want to take this, right? And I use my iPhone for calls and texts. And I got other games and apps on them so my kids can play with it if they want to. But that's pretty much what I use my devices for. And I can remember this one time that I was talking to a guy that's very, very, very much tech savvy. He was a geek. You know what I'm talking about? You know those people. Can I get an amen on that? You know who they are. You know who they are. And one time we were just talking, I could just tell, and I was using my iPad, and he asked me how I liked my iPad. And I replied to him the same way that I basically said to you. I'm like, I love my iPad. I really do. It's awesome. I use it for this, that, whatever. And this is what it is. It's awesome. It's so cool. And I started talking like this, like an Apple Genius Bar guy. You know what I'm saying? And it's really going good. I'm telling you, as soon as I said, it's great, here's what I use it for. This guy was so excited, and his frown just got turned upside, or his smile got turned upside down, and his face, it looked like I had just killed his dog with what I just said. I'm like, what? What, man? I mean, I said I love it. It's awesome. And here's his reply to me, and I quote, a smile turned into a scowl. He said this: you are using that device far beneath its full potential. Oh my gosh. Jeez. I'm thinking to myself, it's doing pretty darn good on a Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? I don't. All right, here's my point with this illustration. Many of you, as believers in Jesus, are a powerful device. Your spirit, listen, your spirit is the same spirit that's integrated with the God that raised Jesus from the dead. But unfortunately, many of you are using that device far below its full potential. You are. And I believe that's why Paul came along and he said this: I want you to unpack your potential. I want you to unpack it. Don't do what the other 10 spies did. Go check out the land week to week and then go back home and keep saying no. Stop doing that. He says, I want you to stop focusing on how strong they are or how big it is in your life, because the truth and reality is it doesn't matter how strong they are or it is. The only thing that matters is how strong and how big he is in you. That's what he's saying. Please get this, folks. Again, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. Your strength in life is not determined by your ability. It's determined by God's authority. Listen. And here's what Paul is saying with this idea. The next time that you feel weak, I pray to God that he would open your eyes to your strength. The next time that you feel overwhelmed, I pray to God that he would open your eyes to your determination. The next time that you feel defeated, I pray to God that you would open your eyes to your victory. The next time that you feel stressed, I pray to God that you would open your eyes to your confidence. I'm talking about the potential of power that you already possess. Now, one more thing. I'm not done. When Paul writes this to the church of Ephesus, in his prayer of reminding them how powerful they are in Christ, he doesn't pray that they would take a self-assessment of their self-worth. He doesn't pray that. He prays that they would do this, to recall and recollect and remember, to draw from that prompting that you need. This is what Paul prays for them to do, to get that recognizing power that's available to you. He says, you need to take a good long look at the greatness and the grandeur of who? God. Guys, just so you know, Jesus or God, you're 90% good chance of being right in church, okay? Just, you know what I'm saying? So let me say that again. He prays that they would take a good long look at the grandeur and the greatness of who?
God.
Not wrong answer. Of you. No, I'm just joking. He tells them to take a good long look at the grandeur and the greatness of God. That's the part that he runs out of breath. Remember? Ephesians 10, 19b, 23. Let's try it again. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised God from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age or the age to come. And God placed under his authority and appointed him ahead over everything, which is the body, the fullness of man, who fills everything in every way. Lightheaded right now. So when Paul says this, and God, go back to that first part, will you, Dory, please? Verse 19. Let's read this again. I'm going to take a breath this time. That power that I'm praying for you to recognize that you have, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Amen. And seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. And just so you know, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come when they read this verse in 2014. Next verse. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in any way. And when Paul prayed that prayer for you to recognize the potential of the power that is in you and available to you, it's like this. Paul saying, you want to remind me what giants you're facing again? So here's my challenge. Why don't you go next time that you're being overwhelmed and all you're talking about is the giants, why don't you read that verse, that passage of verses right there, and then go ahead and tell God about your giants. Here's what I've noticed in ministry. Whatever the giant is in your life, we tend to lean towards and focus on this. How much bigger it is than me. I'm serious, folks. My counseling sessions, when your life is falling apart, are not, and Andy would say this too, and so would Matt, our counseling sessions are not filled with conversation about how powerful God is. It's filled predominantly with how big your giant is. Do you see the problem with your perspective? And Paul comes along and in essence says this, maybe it's time that you stop focusing on the size of your giants and start focusing on the God who made the grapes. And if I'm not mistaken, I know because that little golf clap, that was cool and all, but if I'm not mistaken, my Bible reads that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it also says somewhere else that if God is for me, then who can be against me? I don't know if that draws an amen with you or not, if that's okay. I'm probably going to have a heart attack today. I'm going to bust an artery with an aneurysm. Ginger, I love you. If this is the last time I see you, I love you. I'm sweating. None of you are going to give me hugs today as you leave. Let me put it another way. The majority of the spies said this, the people over there, they're bigger than we are over here. And Paul's suggestion, as did Caleb, why don't you stop fearing the people who live over there and start trusting the God who lives up there and the God who lives in here? And don't you ever forget, by the way, he's the God that's far above all authority, above every every title that's ever been given yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because guess what? Just so you remember, all things, even your giants, are under his feet. So waving my hanky today. Here's what I think some of us need to hear today in closing. The perception of your power that's available to you needs to be enlightened a little more. So you come to realize that who you have in you provides you with the power to overcome any giant that you have faced, are facing, or ever will face. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand to our feet. I'm not done just yet. No one's going to leave. No one would leave on this series. Look, we got the doors guarded. I'm going to practice this together today real quick. Toby, after I practice this with them, you can start playing. But this is kind of a victory cheer, a victory cry. And I want you to repeat after me. And then I'm going to just have a couple closing remarks as we bow our heads and close our eyes. Again, when I say bow your head, close your eyes, it doesn't mean let's try to get out of here real fast. It's not what it means. Okay, so let's practice this a little bit today, all right? Here we are. Matt's sticking a gun in the back of my... All right, there we go. They may be stronger than me. But my God is stronger than them. Very good. That was very lame and very... very lame and very weak. I wonder sometimes, people, if you even hear what we're saying to you in the messages. Let's say this again, and let's say it with power that you possess. They may be stronger than me, but my God is stronger than them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. I don't know about you, but I especially like the comparison of God's power that Paul uses in comparison of God raising Jesus from the dead. I just think that's awesome. I think it's awesome that he says the power that's available to you is integrated with the same power that God used to raise Jesus, his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. I don't know about you, but I have never raised anybody from the dead, but apparently I have power like that. Whoa. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And I think the reason why I like it so much is it brings me back to a reality really, really quick. I don't know about you, but I often forget it. But I find myself sometimes living in the land of self-pity. And when I'm thinking and consumed all about they or them or it, they're just so much bigger than me. I just need to go back and look at this verse and be reminded of the realization that God has already done the heavy lifting. I think so often when I'm overwhelmed with the giants I'm facing and defeated, feeling overwhelmed, I don't know, but I often forget the victory's already mine. Because the battle's already been fought. So here's what I'm gonna leave you with today, celebrators. I wanna remind you of that promise today. Stop saying that God is powerful, but continue living in your weakness. Stop doing it. And in whatever land you may be in, maybe it's time that you stop visiting the land and you start possessing it and taking it and occupying it. And maybe you need to change your perspective with this power so you can unpack the potential of that power. It's time we power up, people. I think it's time we power up. I want to say a prayer here. I know we live in a real world, and even with a message like today, and nobody can argue what the Bible says and the scripture says about it, I realize that you're hurting. So I'm going to be sensitive here, and I want to extend a hand to you because we want to be a church that's full of grace and truth. We want to help you out. And if you're there today and you're having trouble with unpacking the power that's inside of you, we're going to have some What's Next counselors that are standing in the front today as we sing this song. I just want to ask you to come forward and say, hey, listen, I need some help. We'll help you. We'll help you take that next step. We'll help you unpack the power, the potential that's in you. And if you're out there today and you don't know Jesus, never said yes to Jesus, and you want some of that power that we're talking about, today's the day of salvation is what the Bible says. And I want to encourage you to come forward. Just tell a What's Next counselor. You know what? I'm going to just stay out here for a little bit. I'm going to stay out here in the front. And if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus and plug into that power for the first time, why don't you come forward and meet me today? Okay? I'm going to do that today. I'm going to pray for us and then invite you to come forward. Jesus, thanks. I pray that you'd move in a mighty way with our friends that are here today. I'm asking, God, that you would move in someone's life, that they would unpack the potential, the power that's packed inside of them. And I want to pray, Jesus, that all my brothers and sisters today, that they would walk out of here, be encouraged, and realize that they have victory. It's already theirs. They need to claim it. They need to take possession of it. Pray for those that are hurting to come forward and meet me at the front today. Or anybody out there that hasn't said yes to you and wants to plug in the power, give them courage to do that today. I'm going to be standing right up here in the front. God, I'm just going to ask that they would do that as we sing this song. Give somebody courage. Give somebody power to do that. In your son's name, amen.